The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow features violence and frightening imagery. Please exercise caution for children under 13. The sound of a distant wolf's howl rang across the Tappan Zee, making Ichabod Crane shoot straight up. He was a city boy, born and raised in Hartford, but after a falling out with the school superintendent, Ichabod's closest teaching opportunity was a Dutch community far up the Hudson Valley. He was hoping Sleepy Hollow would be a fresh start. But the road to town was a dark and lonely one, and riding at night was a completely new experience for him. New sounds, new smells. Every rustle in the bushes and every bird sent his mind racing. Ichabod was excitable, which didn't always go well with his love of the supernatural. He couldn't explain the appeal, but he loved the terror of something nefarious lurking in the dark. The moment the sun went down, every shadow became a ghost and every bump a demon. It was a constant war between two sides of his brain, between reason and excitement. That night was no exception. Ichabod strained his eyes as a ghostly silhouette quickly arose on the horizon. It was the white walls of a small country church. But as he got closer, his focus shifted from the church to the courtyard. Small, jagged blocks of granite stuck out of the grass. Gravestones. Ichabod's morbid curiosity got the better of him. He pulled up the horse and hopped off. He crept through the graveyard and read off the stones, squinting into the moonlight. Vandervelt, Van Meter, Kuiper. Ichabod marveled at the deeply Dutch names. Hessian. The school teacher paused. He lit a match and leaned closer. Hessian soldier died 1776. Cannonball cleanly removed his head. Ichabod gasped, the fright knocking him backward. He'd done it again. His thirst for horror overwhelmed his good sense. As he dusted himself off, the light sound of hooves cut through the air. Ichabod scanned the road. Nobody was there, but the trotting grew closer. He took a breath and belted out, "Amazing Grace." Singing hymns seemed to be the only thing that calmed Ichabod when he got hysterical. He jumped on the horse and rode into the dark gulch before him, Hell's Bottom. The sound of hooves followed right behind him, but he didn't dare turn and look. He knew in his heart that it was that headless Hessian coming for him. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. Today, we're telling the tale of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, the story of Ichabod Crane and his encounter with the Headless Horseman. We'll discuss the origins of this tale right after this. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was published in 1819 by Washington Irving. At the time, Irving was in his mid-30s and broke. His family's bank had gone under, and his prospects for work were slim. The native New Yorker's only hope was for his new collection of essays and short stories, The Sketchbook, to be a hit. Luckily for Irving, the book was a huge success, with The Legend of Sleepy Hollow as its signature piece. The tale of the headless horseman lurking on the roads of the Hudson Valley captured the attention of the country. It was America's first ghost story to be bound in a book. The roots of the headless horseman go back much further than the birth of the United States. Tales of headless riders of death pop up in Norse and Irish mythology as far back as the Middle Ages. But by blending the pastoral landscapes of the Hudson Valley with old-world ghost stories and real people, Washington Irving created a uniquely American tale. The story of the skittish schoolteacher, his rivalry with the hyper-masculine Brom Bones, and his encounter with the Headless Horseman became a cultural landmark, retold year after year, particularly at Halloween. The end of the school day had come all too quickly for Ichabod Crane. He had spent his first few weeks in Sleepy Hollow, bouncing from house to house, boarding with whatever local had some spare room. But with winter fast approaching, he needed to find a more permanent home. He hoped the Van Ripper estate would provide just that. With no place of his own, he carried everything he owned with him, even his copy of Cotton Mather's History of New England Witchcraft. He hated to bring a book so scandalous around his younger pupils. He didn't want to arouse any suspicion amongst his new neighbors that he was a practicing witch. But as it was, he had no choice but to bring it with him to class that day. Ichabod locked up the doors of the school and headed toward Hans Van Ripper's farm. Sleepy Hollow had taken some getting used to for the urbane schoolteacher. The thick Dutch accent was hard to understand, and no one seemed to care about anything that took place beyond the border of the town. But Ichabod was pleasantly surprised to find that his new community loved the supernatural as much as he did. It was his only real tie to the town. It didn't hurt that Sleepy Hollow was beautiful, especially in autumn. The oranges and reds of the fallen leaves blanketed the hillsides, and the peaceful water of the Hudson sparkled against the low October sun. Ichabod longed to sleep somewhere other than a barn. But when Van Ripper offered up his barn to the schoolteacher in exchange for some help around the farm, he had to accept. Ichabod loathed farm work. He could mend a fence or hoe a row, but there were too many critters and bugs on farms. Ichabod liked his frights to be unseen. He'd much rather find other ways at being useful. As Ichabod approached the house, he couldn't help but overhear Hans's wife, Ava, singing from the parlor. It was pitchy and offbeat, stopping Ichabod in his tracks. As a rather accomplished vocal talent, there were few things he hated more than poor singing. But an idea popped into his head, and a smile slowly spread across his face. "I might not have to lift a finger after all." Ichabod knocked on the door. The warbled singing from inside blissfully stopped. He puffed up his chest and straightened his hair, making himself as presentable as possible. The door swung open to the pained face of Hans Van Ripper. Ichabod shot his hand out.
"Thank you so much for letting me stay in your barn. I couldn't help but overhear your wife."
Hans quickly shook his head. He was a stern and serious man. Every movement seemed purposeful. Hans whispered,
"Don't mention her singing. She's sensitive."
Ichabod gave Hans a wink.
"I can help."
Hans smiled and opened the door wide. Ichabod sat his pack down on the porch and entered. Ichabod's mouth began to water the moment he stepped inside the house. The smell of fresh baked bread and roasted apples filled the air. The matronly Ava nodded to her new guest. Ichabod didn't waste a single second.
"Lady Van Ripper, I couldn't help but overhear your wonderful singing. You know, I'm quite a singer myself. Not that you need it, but I would be delighted to give you a few pointers. I think with just a little help, you could be singing solos in no time."
Ava Van Ripper blushed.
"Why, I've been trying to get a solo at church for years."
He told her they should get their lessons started immediately, and she agreed. Hans breathed a sigh of relief. He was going to wait on the porch for them to finish. Ichabod spent the next hour alternating between guiding Ava through her breathing and enunciation and snacking on apples and bread. By the end of it, Ava was almost passable as a singer. She was so pleased with her progress, she invited Ichabod to join them at church on Sunday.
"Our women's choir could use the guidance of someone as skilled as you."
Ichabod lit up at the thought. His love of singing was almost as great as his love of a good ghost story. Leading the women's group would be an honor. Ichabod said thank you and stepped out of the house to the Van Rippers' front porch. He took a deep breath, taking in the crisp, cool autumn air. Ichabod jumped at the sound of an old rocking chair creaking back and forth. He didn't see Hans. The farmer was sitting in the dark, smoking his pipe and having a brandy.
"That's some book you got there,"
Hans said, nodding down to Ichabod's pack. Cotton Mather's History of New England Witchcraft had fallen out. Ichabod straightened up and tried not to look nervous. Hans didn't seem like the type who would appreciate the paranormal.
"You know," he said, "we have a ghost of our own, a headless horseman."
Hans raised his eyebrows. The hair on the back of Ichabod's neck stood straight up. His eyes went wide. He offered Ichabod the bottle of brandy. Ichabod took a swig as Hans rocked back and forth.
"He wanders the roads at night, looking for a new head to replace the one he lost to a cannonball."
Ichabod eagerly jumped in.
"A cannonball? Like the Hessian from the graveyard?"
Ichabod handed him back the bottle, his hand shaking. The old farmer laughed as he passed by and headed inside.
"Don't fret over an old wives' tale."
Hans left him standing on the porch alone, surrounded by the darkness. Ichabod couldn't believe it. Could his experience have been real? Had he been followed by the Hessian? He had never been so excited and terrified all at once. He grabbed his things and quickly made his way into the night, crossing the dark field toward the Van Rippers' barn. The wind hissed through the freshly bare trees. His heart raced. He didn't notice how far a walk it was between the main house and his quarters. Ichabod jumped at the sound of an owl. He pulled his coat tight and kept his eyes locked on the barn. The terror had overpowered him. He tried to push his encounter out of his mind, but he obsessed over the ghost story.
"What if it's not an old wives' tale? What if the Hessian was coming for me?"
The thought ran through his mind for hours. There would be little sleep that night for Ichabod Crane. Ichabod ran a tight ship inside the walls of the schoolhouse, but the stress wore him down. When Nick Van Brunt interrupted his lesson with a snide remark, Ichabod didn't hesitate to take the switch, though he never raised his hand toward the smaller, meeker children. But he loathed the brashness of young men like Van Brunt. He didn't hesitate to make an example of them. He had no use for such cocksure arrogance. Plus, he found if he could tame the loudest and strongest, the rest of the students would fall in line. The rest of the week flew by, and the days all blended together as one. He did his best to focus on his teachings, but the thought of the horsemen plagued his mind. On Sunday morning, Ichabod eagerly ran toward the church. The prospect of leading the ladies' choir was a welcome break from his worries. Ichabod stood at the back of the church, scanning the pews for his female singers. Though he couldn't see much more than their bonnets, he heard a few good voices pop out from amongst the rabble, which was great. It was less work he would have to do. After the service was over, Ichabod went back to the choir room to meet with Ava and his new students. Ichabod stepped through the door and raised his head to introduce himself, but he froze. He couldn't say a word. Sitting in the middle of his new choir was the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen. Coming up, Ichabod begins his courtship of Katrina Van Tassel and meets his chief rival for her affection. Hi, listeners. To celebrate our favorite month, Parcast Network is releasing a slate of new shows leaning into all things spooky and spine-tingling. And now we're bringing you an original series called Superstitions, featuring the origins and impacts of our most unusual beliefs and the stories of those who dare to defy them. Every week on Superstitions, hear a new drama that illustrates the eeriness and unlocks the mysteries of humanity's strangest codes of conduct. Like holding your breath while passing a cemetery so you don't wake the dead and make them jealous, or carrying the foot of an animal known to have an evil eye, or using iron to keep away the devil. They may seem mystical or even completely illogical, but one thing is certain. You ignore them at your own risk. You can find and follow Superstitions free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. To hear more Parcast shows, search Parcast Network in Spotify's search bar and find a growing slate of spooky October programming to enjoy. Now, back to the story. Ichabod Crane's new life in Sleepy Hollow started with a fright as he was chased by an unseen rider. When he heard the local legend of the Headless Horseman, the schoolteacher obsessed over his experience. Could he have been chased by the horseman? His only respite from the mental anguish was the prospect of leading the women's church choir. Ichabod stood in the doorway of the room as all the ladies greeted their new choir leader, but Ichabod's eyes were locked squarely on one young woman. She was petite yet curvy, and her wild, curly brown hair perfectly framed her mischievous smile. Ichabod's jaw hung open. He could only stare.
"It's going to be quite something to get vocal lessons from a mute," the young lady said aloud to the group.
Ichabod blushed. The line broke him from his trance. He quickly introduced himself to the room and launched right into warm-ups. For the next hour, Ichabod guided the women in song, but his eyes never left the young beauty. After excusing them for the day, Ichabod quickly sidled up next to her to introduce himself personally. She took his hand and smiled.
"Katrina Van Tassel."
Ichabod wasted no time. "Miss Van Tassel, I am available for one-on-one lessons if you'd like."
Katrina held her hand to her heart and gasped, "Are you saying I'm a bad singer?"
Ichabod stammered and tried to quickly recover, but Katrina just laughed. She lightly touched his arm.
"I'd love that."
Ichabod's face flushed once again. He couldn't hide his delight. "I'll come by Wednesday afternoon." Ichabod held the door open for Katrina as the two exited the church together into the gloomy fall afternoon. Katrina nodded. Wednesday would be perfect. The two stopped in front of the chapel, Ichabod gazing deep into Katrina's dark brown eyes. He couldn't help but fantasize about leaving the church with her all dressed in white on some warm spring day. His heart fluttered. Ichabod was so lost in his fantasy that he didn't notice the giant shadow move over him.
"Who's your new friend, Katrina?"
A deep voice boomed from behind, and Ichabod again jumped with fright. He turned around, coming face to face with a giant thoroughbred. His eyes slowly worked their way up the body of the horse to the mountain of a man that rode atop it. He had short brown curls sticking out of a fox fur hat and a jaw that could have been chiseled from granite. Ichabod immediately hated him. Katrina introduced him.
"Brom Van Brunt, this is Ichabod Crane, the new schoolmaster. He's a wonderful singer. He's going to be giving me voice lessons."
His new rival flashed a smile as bright as the sun at Ichabod.
"How about that? A male schoolmaster. My little brother is one of your pupils. Says you're a real taskmaster."
Ichabod began to stammer as his mind put the pieces together. Nick Van Brunt, the one he regularly beat with a switch, was his little brother. Ichabod looked to Katrina, but her starry eyes were locked upward on Brom. Brom gave her a wink.
"Watch out for this one, Cat. He swings a mean switch, I hear. Oh, and tell your father I'll be by with the venison on Wednesday, and maybe I'll see you too."
Brom kicked the horse without waiting for a reply and quickly rode off down the road. Katrina said goodbye, leaving Ichabod standing in front of the chapel, all alone. Ichabod paid little attention to his teachings over the next 2 days, with the Van Brunt boys getting his full attention. He made life as difficult as possible for Nick while he inquired about Brom from the other students. Disappointingly, he didn't hear one negative thing about his rival. Brom Bones, as he was known around town, was a world-class rider and a huntsman who happily shared his kills with the community. He was a natural-born storyteller who enjoyed a good-natured ribbing. Brom seemingly had no weaknesses, and it was well known throughout town that he had his eye on Katrina Van Tassel. Ichabod had a rival for her affections. But as his Wednesday afternoon session with Katrina rolled around, Ichabod put that behind him. "He's a common country bumpkin," Ichabod told himself. "Anybody could learn to ride or hunt." Ichabod brought other attributes to the table. He was learned and cultured, and besides, no one could sing like Ichabod. He'd taught enough wealthy old women to know how rare a great voice was. Ichabod walked from his schoolhouse to the western end of Sleepy Hollow, home to the Van Tassel estate. He smiled to himself as his eyes darted around the countryside, covered with the warm colors of the freshly fallen foliage. There were never colors like this in the city. Ichabod wound around the bend at the end of the road. His smile faded as his eyes went wide. It was the sprawling estate of Baltus Van Tassel, Katrina's father. Ichabod had heard from the Van Rippers that they were wealthy, but he had no idea it was quite like this. There had to be 200 acres of land, filled with every kind of animal imaginable. Cows, pigs, and chickens dotted the landscape. A large pond occupied the northeast corner, with a gaggle of geese lounging in the water. There were fields filled with corn, squash, and pumpkins, and in the middle of it all sat Van Tassel Manor. Ichabod couldn't help but get ahead of himself. "There would be no more sleeping in barns if I could convince Katrina to marry me." He nearly floated down the path to the Van Tassels' front door, high on the thought of selling off the pigs for a tidy profit. But before he even made it to the porch, the front door to the Van Tassels swung open. It was Brom. Ichabod's mood immediately soured. Brom gave him a hearty pat on the shoulder and said,
"Mr. Crane, I've had something on my mind since I last saw you. Now, my brother says you're quite fond of the occult. If there was a witch right here in Sleepy Hollow, would we even know?"
Ichabod accused Brom of mocking him, but Brom demurred. He leaned toward Ichabod's ear.
"Icky, I know you think I'm just a blowhard, but I see all sorts of things out on the roads. I'm a very curious man," he whispered.
Ichabod and Brom were roughly the same height, but Brom had to weigh 50 pounds more than the lanky schoolteacher. Brom had an uncanny ability to make anyone feel small. Ichabod seethed, completely unconvinced of Brom's request, but Katrina had stepped out of the house and onto the porch. She smiled and gave Ichabod a wave. He bit his tongue. He wouldn't throw a lowbrow insult at the dullard Brom. Instead, he would show off both his tact and his knowledge in front of his would-be lady, show her that he was the superior man. Ichabod cleared his throat and said matter-of-factly,
"There are a few things you might look out for. You might notice a familiar about, a crow or a cat, the smell of sage, Of course, if it's bad, you might see all your furniture flipped upside down.
Ichabod leaned in, letting that last bit land. He thought it might sound menacing.
Brom furrowed his brow and nodded. Flipped furniture, noted. Thanks, Crane.
He gave Ichabod another firm pat on his shoulder and hopped on his horse. Brom blew a kiss to Katrina as he dug in his spurs and rode away. Katrina rolled her eyes at Brom.
Don't waste a second of your life worrying about Brom Bones. He's just trying to get a rise out of you.
She walked off the porch and wrapped her arm around Ichabod's. His heart fluttered once again, the confrontation with Brom quickly fading from his mind. She pulled him away from the house, suggesting they do their lessons down by the pond. It sounded like a wonderful idea to Ichabod. They spent the whole afternoon walking around the grounds, chatting and getting to know one another. There wasn't much need for an actual lesson. Katrina had a lovely voice, and Ichabod was much more inclined to spend quality time with the beautiful young lady. Ichabod climbed a tree and picked some apples for Katrina so they could have a snack by the pond. They sat on a blanket and watched the sun go down, talking about their favorite books. She wasn't just beautiful and witty, she was also smart, an avid reader who had dreamed of being a novelist when she was younger. Each new fact Ichabod learned made him more and more in love with her. A distant bell clanged, rudely interrupting the sunset. Katrina jumped up off the ground and dusted herself off. It was dinner time. Ichabod walked Katrina back to her front door and kissed her on the hand. He thanked her for a wonderful afternoon and asked if she would need another voice lesson next Wednesday. Katrina smiled.
"Next Wednesday, if not before," she said.
Then she disappeared behind the huge door. Ichabod was light as a feather as he turned away from the house and walked back home. He couldn't have imagined a better night. Even the encounter with Brom was worth the picnic he had with Katrina. But as he walked, an eerie quiet hung over the air. It was completely dark now, and with all the farm animals asleep, everything was still. Ichabod's heart began to race as the glow of the Van Tassel house faded behind him. He was enveloped in a thick darkness. The conversation with Brom earlier snuck its way back into his mind. What if there are witches in Sleepy Hollow? Ichabod had been so focused on the Headless Horseman that he never even entertained the thought of there being witches in this little town. Ichabod's overactive mind was at it again. He couldn't help it. Ichabod began belting out a hymn.
Then sings my soul.
It was a simple reflex, the only thing that could soothe him as he walked through the dark. Ichabod walked the whole way back to town, singing hymn after hymn. But as he approached the schoolhouse, something caught his eye. Ichabod slowed to a stop. He narrowed his eyes to try and see in the darkness. He couldn't quite tell, but it looked like someone or something was inside his classroom. Ichabod sniffed the air. There was a distinct earthy smell wafting down the hill. He immediately knew what it was. Sage. Ichabod couldn't believe it. Brom was right. There are witches here. He didn't know what to do. If a witch was using his schoolhouse, it wouldn't be safe for him or the kids. Ichabod picked up a dead branch off the ground. Wielding the branch like a club, he quickly walked toward the front door of the schoolhouse. He was losing his nerve. He inched the front door open and stuck his head inside. The smell of sage was thick in the air. He called out softly,
"Hello?"
But nothing called back. There was no sound. He couldn't see anything, so Ichabod opened the door and struck a match. As the light from the match filled his classroom, the branch, along with his jaw, dropped straight to the ground. there wasn't a soul inside. His eyes shot to every corner of the room. His heart pounded inside his chest. Everything, the desks, the chairs, the books, his blackboard, was turned upside down. Ichabod's voice eked out, "Witches." Coming up, Ichabod finds out the truth about the Headless Horseman. Now, back to the story. Despite his encounter with Brom Bones at the Van Tassel estate, Ichabod had a wonderful date with Katrina Van Tassel. But on his way home, Ichabod's mood quickly turned. As he passed the schoolhouse, he saw someone moving inside. He was shocked to find everything in the classroom had been flipped upside down, a sure sign of witches. Ichabod slowly moved one foot in front of the other, inspecting his classroom. "The witches must be using my school for their meetings," he thought, lighting a candle. All of a sudden, something ran by the front of the schoolhouse. Ichabod spun, but he was too slow. He crept toward the front door, careful not to make a sound, but he could hear it moving around his school. He could hear the leaves crackle all around him. The witches had him surrounded. A long, high-pitched scratch ran down the back window. Ichabod jerked his head toward the noise, but again, he was too slow. He held out the candle in front of his face and called out, "Who's there?"
"Icky!"
A voice screamed from behind Ichabod as a giant hand grabbed his shoulder. Ichabod gasped and dropped the candle. He fell to the ground after it, collapsing in fear. Boisterous laughter rang out through the hall. Ichabod lifted his head upward and saw Brom Bones lingering in the doorway, basking in the candlelight. So this is why he was so interested in witches. Ichabod knew better than to trust Brom. He'd been had.
"Leave my brother alone, you dandy," Brom said, his eyes trained down on Ichabod.
He backed out the door and faded into the darkness, away from the fallen schoolteacher. Ichabod fumed as he listened to Brom's horse ride away. He pushed himself off the ground and began lighting more candles in the classroom. He had school in the morning. He couldn't let all the children come in and see the place like this. The teacher worked through the night, fueled by hatred of Brom. Ichabod thought his rival was neither a gentleman or a scholar, a poor suitor for the lovely Katrina.
Why, had I not shown up, that jackass would be her only prospect.
He obsessed over Katrina as he righted desks, flipped over books, and set chairs in their proper place. It was nearly first light by the time he was finished. Ichabod didn't even bother going home. He had a spare shirt in his desk. He would just wear that for the next day. Exhausted, he laid on the floor of the classroom to get a moment of rest before the school day began. Ichabod awoke just in time to make himself presentable and welcome the students. The students didn't seem to notice that their teacher had slept in the building. The day endlessly dragged on. He didn't even bother to discipline Nick Van Brunt when the boy spoke out of turn. As the afternoon came around, his eyes were heavy. He leaned against the edge of the desk as he instructed his pupils, trying to steal a moment of rest however he could. Ichabod's eyes drifted from his students toward the open door at the front of the classroom. He hoped it would let in the cool breeze from the river, but now it was letting in something else. He could hear a horse approaching. He hoped it wasn't Brom back to torment him again, but he didn't know who else would be riding out to the school in the middle of the day. The sound of the horse drew closer. The students were all curious as well. They leaned out of the seats, hoping to get a view of whatever rider was approaching.
"It's the Headless Horseman," Nick called out.
Ichabod reached for the switch. That was nothing to joke about. But he stopped himself as a messenger stepped into the door. He handed Ichabod an envelope sealed with the Van Tassel mark. He tore it open, too tired to try and be coy about it. Then he read it to himself, not bothering to worry about the students.
"Dear Mr. Crane," it read, "you are formally invited to a soiree at Van Tassel Manor tonight, 5 p.m. sharp." The letter was signed, Katrina Van Tassel.
A rush of blood ran through Ichabod's body. He certainly wasn't tired anymore. Ichabod tucked the invitation into his breast pocket and moved to the front of the class. He rushed through the back half of the day's lesson and let the kids out a full hour early. He locked the schoolhouse door and all the windows, careful to not have a repeat of last night's incident, and ran straight back to the Van Ripper's barn to get ready for his lady. Ichabod washed his face and gave himself a fresh shave. He pulled out his best and only black suit. He slicked back his hair, feeling like his ideal self. He was ready to go. But as he stepped outside, his eye drifted down to his worn-out shoes. "Brom Bones will be arriving on horseback, and you'll be showing up on foot like a commoner." This was a fancy gathering, and Ichabod had to make an impression. He hurried to the Van Ripper's house and begged Hans for a horse to borrow. Hans offered Ichabod his best horse, Gunpowder, though best wasn't the adjective Ichabod would have used to describe the horse. Old or cantankerous, possibly. But Ichabod was desperate, and a horse was a horse. Hans even fitted Gunpowder with his best saddle, which gave the old stag a regal air. Ichabod didn't exactly fit in the saddle. The stirrups were too high, and his knees and elbows stuck out sideways like wings. But Ichabod ignored that minor detail. The important thing was, he now had a horse. Ichabod tried not to look overwhelmed as he entered Van Tassel Manor, but it was hard not to. He had never seen anything like it, not even in the city. High ceilings, walls adorned with art and taxidermied bears and deer, dark mahogany furniture, large plush chairs, and the food. Ichabod made a slow pass by the spread, gawking at the variety of sweet cakes, savory pies, roasted apples, and succulent hams. He could have stayed right there the entire night and ate himself sick, but then he heard Katrina call his name. Ichabod turned from the buffet. His eyes lit up as Katrina cut through the crowd, her gaze steadily locked onto him. She looked better than ever. Ichabod didn't even know that was possible. He took her hand and kissed it with a bow.
"Could I interest you in a dance?" Ichabod said with a smile.
Katrina nodded. She would love to. The only thing Ichabod was more confident in than his singing was his dancing. He held Katrina firmly in his hands and glided her across the floor. He felt all the eyes in the room on the two of them, most importantly, Brahms. Brahms sat in the corner, watching them, stewing. Ichabod knew this was his place to shine. Ichabod pulled Katrina close as he danced with her song after song, her eyes never once breaking gaze with his. Ichabod was certain of it. They were in love. After what seemed like hours, the band finally took a break. Katrina excused herself. Ichabod dabbed at his forehead with a handkerchief. He had worked up quite a sweat on the dance floor. He could use a hit of his pipe. Ichabod stepped out onto the porch. To his disappointment, all the men were gathered around Brom. He didn't bother to acknowledge Ichabod as he joined the group. Brom's voice was low, wrapping up a tale that clearly had all the others engaged. After listening to a few words, Ichabod figured out what it was, a ghost story. Ichabod's spine tingled with fear and titillation. he couldn't help but scoot in closer. The moment Brahm finished, he jumped right in.
"Have you heard about the blind girl in Simsbury who can conjure the devil himself?"
Ichabod took a long puff of his pipe as all the men turned to him. His voice shook as he excitedly recounted the tale of the 10-year-old who sacrificed her own dog to draw out Satan. The men all nodded. That was a good story, but not as good as their own headless horseman, one said.
At the mention of the legend, the men all talked over each other. The debate grew more and more intense. The group was torn between the hardcore believers and the doubters. Men stomped and shouted, "The horseman!"
Ichabod had forgotten all about his traumatic encounter with the ghoul on that first night. His love of Katrina had pushed the obsession from his mind. But as they spoke of their ghost, fear gripped Ichabod, tears welling in his eyes. Suddenly, something loud and heavy banged against the floorboards of the porch. Ichabod snapped out of his stupor, and all the men turned toward the sound. Behind the group, a match struck in the darkness, causing them all to turn. The man who had lit it was an ancient, white-haired relic. A cigar poked out of his mangled beard. One eye was milky and useless, but his other was black as coal.
"Brower, that you?"
Brahm asked. He sounded shocked to see the old man.
"I seen him,"
the old man said.
"He's always roaming around the old church on the edge of town, beyond Hell's Bottom. He was buried up there."
The Hessian, the graveyard, Hell's Bottom. Ichabod's hand began to violently shake. Brower's story sounded just like his. Had he escaped just in time on that first night? He stared into Brower's mismatched eyes, completely caught up. Brower described the chase, the Hessian following him through the night.
"Finally, I dug in, gave the full whip, trying to make it to the bridge over the creek. But he flew. I swear he flew right next to me. Threw me off my horse and into the mud. I looked up just in time to see the Hessian disappear over the treetops in the clap of thunder."
Brower took a long puff of the cigar.
"The headless horseman is real."
Ichabod couldn't move as the tears formed back in his eyes. He desperately wanted to start singing hymns. The ghost story was no longer just a story. The fun was over. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next Wednesday with part two of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Tales, for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Tales on Spotify, just open the app, tap Browse, and type Tales in the search bar. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Michael Langsner, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Aaron Larson. This episode of Tales was written by Jesse Harris, with writing assistance by Greg Castro. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Remember to follow Superstitions for new episodes featuring our most unusual beliefs. Are they side effects of ancient folklore or truly the masters of our fates? Look closely and examine the writing on the wall. Superstitions airs every Wednesday, free on Spotify.